Good evening, everyone. Good evening. A blessed evening to all of you. Why don't you turn around and say hi to the people beside you? What a wonderful time it is to praise the Lord, isn't it? It's a glorious Sunday evening. We'd like to welcome all of you. If you're here tonight as a guest, we'd like to welcome you to CCF. If you have time after the worship service, please drop by. We have a guest lounge right here on the fifth floor lobby, right back there. They've got some refreshments, some snacks. They want to meet you. They want to tell you about CCF. If you have any questions, they're there to answer your questions. If you need counseling, do drop by. If you need prayers, we're here to serve you. We're part of a family, so do stop by after the worship service. Pastor Peter this weekend was in the Phil Chai retreat, and he was telling me this morning that there were over 300 participants, and the majority of them were all first-timers. Praise God for that, huh? Praise God for that, yes. This morning he spoke in CCF Alabang, and he tells me that next week he's going to continue the series on Malachi. We're going to do the second part of chapter 2. So he'll be here for that. So invite your friends, invite your relatives to come over for the chapter series on Malachi. All right? You know, before I start, I want to tell you a story. About 2 weeks ago, I went to the beach. Went with about 20 friends. Did you guys go to the beach for summer? If you had a chance, it was a great time. It still was not raining. We had a fun time. This beach, however, is different because the waves are for surfing. So the waves are about 4 feet high, and they crash on the shore. It's a beautiful sight, but you need to be trained well to swim. You can't just be an ordinary swimmer and go out into the water. It's a little difficult. We had a whole day of swimming, and some of the people in our group are not really strong swimmers, but they wanted to go out into the water. So what they did is they held hands, three ladies. I was sitting on the shore watching them. They held hands, and they started walking into the water. They didn't realize it, but these waves are coming straight at them. And big ones, huh? To the point that it hit them and they started falling backwards and they eventually let go. They let go each other's hands and each one was taking care of themselves. And this one lady was walking forward and this huge wave came and hit her. She fell backwards and she started rolling around with the wave. And you could see she was not coming up for air. And then the next wave came and the next wave. And I'm saying, oh no, this is serious. I better do something about it. So I got up and I started running to the beach to get her out of the water. And the water was pulling me in also. And I was just being dragged inside as well. I reached down, I grabbed her hands. I pulled her out and some other guys came around. And we lifted her out of the water. She was out of breath. She was just completely out of breath. She was thinking that she wouldn't be able to live anymore. We got her to the shore. She was all bruised up because of the rocks below. And when she was in the shore, she was saying, I thought I was going to die. Thank you for saving me. Thank you. I'm indebted to you. Thank you so much for saving me. Friends, have you ever had a near-death experience where someone rescued you? Have you ever experienced something like that? And how do you feel about that person? How do you feel about that person? You see, the reason I tell you this story is because all of us, at one time in our lives, were spiritually drowning. We were drowning in the sea of sin. The grip on us was so tight, it was leading to certain death, eternal death. But God, out of His love for us, He reached down. He sent Jesus Christ, and Jesus rescued us. And in the process, He died. He died in our place that we might live. Does that strengthen and increase your love for God? I pray that it does. Realize what God has done for you. We're going through the book of Malachi. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Did you hear the announcement that we're not going to be showing all the verses on the PowerPoints in the very near future? We want to encourage you to open your Bibles. First of all, bring your Bibles, open your Bibles, and look at the different passages that we read out here. Okay? So Malachi, we're going to look at chapter 2 today. But you know, in chapter 1, there's an affirmation, a word of affirmation for us. In chapter 1, verse 2, it says, I have loved you, says the Lord. I have loved you. Think about that. What a way to start our relationship with God. It's His loving us. Not our loving Him, but Him loving us. That's how the relationship starts. And what was their answer? Their answer in that passage was, how have you loved us? How? Tell us, how have you loved us? It's a doubtful whine. It's like these people are spoiled children. You know, they've received everything in their lives. Anything they want, they've gotten. But when they don't get that one toy that they want, all of a sudden, they're saying, you don't love us anymore. You don't love me. Or it's like that businessman who's doing very well in his business, but he fails to close one deal. He fails to get that sale. And he ends up saying with doubt, God, do you love me? Do you love me? Are we like that? Are we like that? If I were to ask you, do you love God? Maybe right away you say, yes, I do. But do you really love God from your heart? Not just your mind, but from your heart. Big difference. Our worship of God is evidenced by our love. Our worship of God is evidenced by our love. Think about that. Worship is not just what we do here on Sundays, not in a building, okay? Our worship is loving God and others every day of our lives. That's what real worship is. We need to understand that we were headed in the wrong direction, but God turned us around. We need to understand how God really loves us so we can base our response to Him with pure, sincere gratitude, appreciation, and thankfulness. Earlier we sang a song. We sang a song entitled, When I Think About the Lord. Look at the lyrics of that song. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up, how He turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. Does that talk about you today? And then the chorus says, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. That's our heart's desire. Friends, it's so easy to say these words. It's so easy. But it's another thing to say these words from your heart. You and I were drowning in sin, destined for eternal death. But God rescued us and gave us eternal life. He gave us salvation at the cost of His one and only Son. Last week we talked about chapter 1. In chapter 1 it was about giving God our best in worship. Remember that? Giving God our best. And Pastor Peter used three parts of the body. What were the three parts of the body that he used? The head, the heart, and the hands. Remember that? The head, the heart, and the hands. Let me ask you, in the past week that has just gone by, were you conscious about giving God your best? Were you conscious? Were you conscious during your work in the office? Were you conscious about giving God your best at school, at home? Were you conscious and sensitive and thankful to God, thanking Him from the bottom of your heart for all the blessings that He's given you? When you came here today and you were writing out your check for the offering, or you're putting money in the envelope, what was your heart attitude? Was it a sense of gratitude? Nah, I can't wait. That's just great. I'm giving something to the Lord. Or were you saying to yourself, well, another routine. You know, here we go again. Is that what was going on in your heart? When you thought about going to your small group this past week, were you thinking about, it's going to be great. I'm going to learn something more about God this week. Or I'm going to have a great time with my friends. What was going on in your mind? What was going on in your mind? You and I must realize that worship is every day of our lives. Not just some days, but every day of our lives. Let's look at chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Let's all stand and honor the word of God as we read it together. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. Everyone. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feast, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace. I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way, and you have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening, that you allow us to gather together as a family, to worship you, to honor you, to give you praise, and to sing songs from our hearts. Lord Jesus, you know the troubles that people are going through today. You know their hearts. You know the pain. You know the difficulties that they're experiencing. We ask you, Father God, to be the one to speak to our hearts tonight. Speak to us in such a way, Lord God, that we may hear you in a special way, that it will cause us to move in action, to be transformed, to live for you. Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have to worship you in this country. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the CCF churches that worship and honor you today. Lord, we commit our time to you. And I humbly say, Lord God, that I need you, because without you I can say and do nothing of eternal value. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As you read verse 1 in that chapter, it says, oh, this is the commandment for the priests. Did you notice that? A commandment for the priest, and you're saying there, wait a minute, I'm not a priest. How does this apply to me today? You know, I shouldn't bother listening to this message because I'm not a priest. Can I remind you, what were the priests in the days of Malachi? What were the priests in the days of Malachi? What were they called? Levites, remember? They were called the Levites. They were a special tribe that was chosen by God. Every generation from this tribe knew their responsibility. They knew that they were there to serve God, serve the people of Israel, through worshiping in the temple with sacrifices. They also knew that they were there to teach people the law of the Lord. They knew their responsibilities. At the same time, these people were there to bring God closer to them, so that they may experience life and peace. If anyone sinned in those days, they would go to the priest, and the priest would go to the temple and offer a sacrifice for that person's sins. But today, no more sacrifices are made for sins, right? So, what's the big deal? Why do we need to study this passage? How does it relate to us? Friends, listen. You need to look at the perspective of God. How does God see you today? How does God see everyone who calls themselves Christian? In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Let's read that together. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom priest serving his God and Father. Jesus Christ freed us. He freed us with his blood. You see, in the Old Testament, the priests were a very special class of people. They were considered the mediators between man and God. They were the go-betweens. You couldn't talk to God unless you go through a priest. But all that has changed, completely changed. In the New Testament, today, we are taught that all believers are priests. All believers are priests. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Dying on the cross, he opened up the access for us to go to God directly. We don't need to go to priests to appeal to God. We can go directly. Are you with me? That's got to be clear. We can go directly to God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Let's read that. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does that say? It says you are a royal priesthood. You're the kingdom of priests today. Can you tell your neighbor, you are a priest? T- Tell your neighbor, you're a priest. And tell your neighbor, act like one. That might be shocking to some of you, but the truth is, the Bible says you are a holy nation. In God's eyes, He sees you as a holy nation, a royal priesthood. You have direct access to God. You don't need to go through other people. A lot of times, people think, you know, just because you're a pastor, that you have stronger praying power. But can I tell you, that's not true. Sometimes when you're sick and you need prayers, you run to the pastor. Pastor, can you please pray for me because I'm sick? Can I tell you, many times I've prayed for people who are sick and they die? It's not my prayers that are closer to God. Every one of us has the ability and opportunity and privilege to go directly to God with our prayers. And He hears you. And He listens. Access to God is now opened. It's open to all believers. Remember that. And we have that access. We're priests, all of us who claim to be Christians. And we have our responsibilities. We have clear responsibilities. What are our responsibilities? First, we're to live our lives to serve and glorify God. Secondly, we are to lead others to know God, to lead them to worship God. Now, when I mention the word others, what do I mean? There are a lot of people who you have influence over, believe it or not. Whether you like it or not, they're watching your life. They're looking at your role, your model, your example. They're watching you because you are the Christian to them. And the way you speak, the way you act, the way you respond, the way you deal with crisis, they are watching your life. And based on your life, they either go closer to Christ or they're repelled from Christ. You, friends, are a representative of Christ here on this earth, whether you like it or not. Now, that's an awesome responsibility, isn't it? It sure is. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. If you are a Christian, the book of Malachi is for you. The title of this message is Worship, Being Faithful to God's Word. Can you all say that? Worship, being faithful to God's Word. I have three simple points. I want all of you to stand up. Everyone, just stand up. The points are very simple. You'll never forget these points, okay? Point number one, ears. Point your ears, okay? And say with me, listening to God's Word. Great. Point number two, mouths. Mouth. Speaking God's Word. Speaking God's Word. Point number three, our feet. Feet. Ministering God's Word. So, point number one, ears. Listening to God's Word, mouth speaking God's Word, and feet ministering to God's Word. You're great. Have a seat. Have a seat. The priests during the time of Malachi were drifting away. They were slowly drifting away from their love and worship of God. They failed in several areas. And the areas that they failed in was in listening to God's Word. They failed in speaking God's Word. And they failed in ministering God's Word to the people. Because of that, God was disciplining them. He was cursing them already because they shouldn't have been doing that. What about us today? Are we just like them? Are we failing God? Are we leading people away from God? Honestly, answer that question for yourself. Is this message for us today? The objective of this message is for us to identify the areas in our lives that we need to surrender to God. We need to say, Lord, help me in these areas. That way I can worship you with all my heart, my soul, and my strength. That way I can be faithful to your word every day of my life. Let's take point number one, ears. Listening to God's word. Listening to God's word. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 2, it says, if you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will what? I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Look at this verse, huh? It says, if you do not listen. They were not listening to God. They were living their life their way. God's word was always there. They always had God's word. They read it every day, but they were not listening to it. Not only that, they didn't take it to heart. What does that mean? It means they didn't follow it. They didn't obey God's word. They heard it, but they didn't follow it. They failed in that area. What about us? Are we today walking in a manner that are leading people to Christ? Are we listening to God's word? I don't know when the last time you took a plane trip was. But think about that time when you were in an airplane and you're just about to take off. And all the passengers are seated down, getting settled in, buckling up their seatbelts. And the airline attendant stands in the middle of the aisle and starts to give all the safety and emergency procedures for all the passengers to hear. Can I ask you, do you pay close attention to that airline attendant? Or has it come to the point where you've heard it so often that you don't bother listening to her or him anymore? You know yourself. You know. Now tell me, if there was an emergency in that aircraft, would you know what to do? Would you know how to handle it? They say when a plane is depressurized and all the breathable air is gone and all the passengers are panicking, the parents, if you're a parent, the thing you should do is reach up and grab your oxygen mask, put it on yourself, and then reach up again and grab another oxygen mask and put it on your child. People think, how insensitive, how selfish for a parent to take care of themselves first and then take care of their children. Why would they do that? But the answer is simple. Because you need a parent who is fully conscious to be able to help his child or her child. Without being conscious, they cannot help the child. Just like in worship. Friends, when we come to worship, when you read and listen to God's word, you hear His instructions. You listen to His word and then you obey it. You follow it. You walk in the manner of His instructions. And then it gives you the ability to help other people. Follow the Lord as well. Unless you yourself are walking with the Lord, listening to His instructions, you and I cannot help other people. Are you with me? That's why it's important to listen to God's word. Are you a good listener? Are you a good listener? Let me ask you. Can you ask the person beside you, if it's your husband or your wife or your child, can you ask the person, am I a good listener? Go ahead. Oh, tell me. What? Are you a good listener? What did they say? You didn't listen to their answer. You just asked the question, but you didn't listen to the answer. I'm discovering that a lot of us are poor listeners. We're poor listeners. There was this man, his name was Leroy. He went to a church revival. And the preacher was so passionate. He was speaking and speaking. And after his message, he said, any one of you here who needs prayers, come down. Come down front and I'll pray for you. Leroy was excited, so he went down and he got in line. And when it was his turn, he stood there and the preacher said, okay, sir, tell me, what can I pray for you? And Leroy said, well, pastor, could you please pray for my hearing? And before Leroy could say any other words, the pastor spit in his hands and put his hands covering his man's ear and started praying for him. And then he stopped and stepped back. He says, tell me, sir, how is your hearing now? And the man said, I don't know. You see, the court hearing is not till Wednesday. If you ask teenagers, what's your biggest frustration? You know what they'll say? That my parents don't listen. Is that right, teenagers? Don't answer. A lot of times, parents don't listen to their children. If there's communication problems in families, it's because everyone's talking at the same time. No one's listening to each other. You know what it's a teenager, when they get together with their barkada, they love to talk. They can talk endlessly and forever, just talking, animation, all that. But when they get together with their parents, all of a sudden, they're quiet. It's like their tongues fell asleep, you know? And why? It's because parents don't know how to listen to them. That's the problem. There was a family retreat just about 2 weeks ago. And in that family retreat, on the second night, we had a session on conflict resolution in the family. After that session, the parents were instructed to ask their children two questions. The first question was, how have I hurt you in the past? How have I hurt you in the past? The second question is, how can I improve? And the parents were told, after you ask those questions, you are not to say a thing. You're to keep your mouth, what? Shut. Quiet. You're to open your ears and listen, but you're not to defend yourself. You're not to retaliate. You're not to rationalize. You're not to, you know, justify your actions. Just listen and learn. You know, we saw that as the families broke up into different sections. The parents were talking to the children and asking these questions. And when the children were opening up, there was a restoration, a renewal of love. Hearts were reunited between parents and children. It was a very precious time. Why? Because someone was finally listening to someone who was talking. Have you tried asking those questions of your children? Let them know that you want to hear the answer. And you need to do this. You need to keep this shut and this open. And parents, you know, they asked, please forgive me. They asked forgiveness for their children. And then they asked, they told their children, I commit to improve in those areas. It does wonders for families. It does wonders for families. You know, it's bad enough that we don't listen to each other. We're so busy with everything that's happening, all the activities around us. What's worse is we don't listen to God. And God's always speaking to us. Are we listening? Are we being deliberate in setting time aside to listen to God? God's always speaking to us. He's speaking to you today. He wants to speak to you today through His Word. If you read His Word daily, you will have guidance and direction for your life. He speaks to you through other godly people. He speaks to you through crisis, through trials in your life. He speaks to you in those times. God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit, confirms actions and directions in our life. God doesn't necessarily speak audibly where you can hear Him. You know, not necessarily, but God's Word is so clear when He speaks to us. You and I need to listen to God more often. Can I ask, how many of you here are in a small group here in CCF? How many of you are small group in CCF? Can you raise your hands? Can you please raise your hands higher, higher? Okay, that's great. I'm so glad that many of you are in small groups. Do you enjoy your small groups? Do you enjoy them? Are you learning something? Now, I encourage those of you who are in small groups, keep meeting regularly in your small groups, okay? Those who did not raise your hands, can I encourage you? There's nothing like getting involved in a small group. A small group of individuals who are similar to who you are. Same profile that you can build a relationship with, that you can get to know in a period of time. And as you get to know one another, you can interact with one another in truth and honesty and transparency to the point where these individuals will help you grow in your faith. Do you have blind spots? Do you have blind spots? Do you see your blind spots? No, we don't see our blind spots. People see our blind spots. And we need people to tell us what we can do to improve. I have a group of men who oftentimes, we get together on Tuesday mornings. When we get together, these men, they're so honest. They don't hold back. You know, they tell me, Pastor Joby, this is what you need to do. You need to improve here. You need to say this. Whatever it is that I need to do, I listen to them. I don't defend myself. I allow them to talk to me. Why? Because I know that they love me. I know that they care for me. I know that these men are saying things not in criticism, but they want to help me improve. And it's one thing to read God's Word daily, to listen to God. But it's another thing to have godly people speak to you. How's God going to speak to you if you're not in a group? How's He going to speak to you if you're not in a group? Oftentimes, when God says something to us through His Word or other people, there might be times when you don't like what He says. Yes or no? Yes. There are times that you don't like what He tells you to do. And so what do you do about it? For some people, they close their ears and they don't act. They don't act in faith. They choose to run away. Sometimes they change D groups. Sometimes they decide to change worship, go to another church, whatever it is. They just want to run away from God's instructions. Friends, we can't keep doing that. There are some people who only want to hear what they want to hear when it comes to counseling. And so they go to a counselor, one counselor after the next, until they finally hear the counselor who says what they want to hear. If you're like that, can I suggest something simple? Just stand in front of a mirror and say, good morning, how are you today, Joby? You know, what's your problem? Tell me your problem. And you just counsel yourself. You talk to yourself until you solve your own problem. That's how ridiculous it is. But friends, that's what we do. We search for that counsel that we want to hear. We'll never grow. We'll never get out of our situation. What's the principle that we learn here? The principle is what and who you listen to will influence what you do. Can you all say that? What and who you listen to will influence what you do. You know, God speaks to us sometimes in whispers. There was a young man who went to his pastor and said, "Pastor, I need your help. My business just went bankrupt. I've been asking God for direction and guidance, and I don't hear from Him. I don't know what to do. God's not speaking to me. Please help me." The pastor said, "Come here, son." This young man, "Come here, come close. And the pastor started whispering. And the young man said, what are you saying? And the guy, what are you saying? I can't hear you. What are you saying?" And this went on and on until finally their heads were bowed down so low and their heads were just close together. And the pastor says, "God sometimes whispers so that you will get closer to Him." And that's what God wants to do. He wants to get close to you. And so sometimes He whispers. You might not hear God, and that's, don't give up. Keep on trying. God wants you to get closer and closer to Him. Don't give up. There are times when we refuse to listen to God. We refuse to give Him any attention. So what does He do? He pulls out the megaphone, the big megaphone of pain and trial and difficulties of life, and He starts shouting into our lives. If you're experiencing some pain and trial, it could be that God loves you so much that He's sending you these trials to wake you up, to get your attention, and maybe finally He's got your attention. Don't wait for that to happen. Listen to Him. Spend time listening to Him. How would you like it if God puts a megaphone right up to your ear and starts blasting things into your ear with pain and difficulties? It's not good. Don't wait for that to happen. If you ask any parent in this hall, any parent here, you ask them, why do you want your children to listen to you? And the answer simply is because, parents, because you want the best for them. You want to guide them. You want to protect them. You want to bless them. And the same thing with God. God wants you to listen to Him. Why? Because He wants to bless you. He wants to give you the best. He wants to put favor upon your life. That's why. So we need to listen to Him. The minute you and I stop listening to God, that's the start of our downfall. Jesus said, "My sheep, they hear My voice. I know them and they what? They follow Me." Are you today listening to God's voice? The shepherd's voice? You might be hearing a lot of other voices. Voices of discouragement. Voices of temptation. Voices telling you, "Oh, just quit. It's not worth it. You're useless. You're worthless." If you hear those voices, don't listen to those voices. Because those voices are trying to pull you away from God. Make sure that the voices you hear are based on His Word. Because the Word is truth. Are you with me? Application. How do we apply this truth about listening to God's Word? Friends, simply, respond to God by listening and obeying. What's the one thing alone, that you can do this next week that will allow you to listen to God daily? What's the one thing that you can do to hear God on a daily basis? What's the one thing you need to do or need to stop doing in order to obey? Is there one thing that God is telling you? You know that this is wrong. It could be a relationship. It could be a business practice. It could be an attitude that you have. Whatever that is, God has been speaking to you. And I know in this room a lot of us are ignoring God. We're playing games with Him. He is saying, "What is it that you need to do to really obey Me?" Let's look at point number two. The mouth. Speaking God's Word. In the time of Malachi, the priests were not speaking God's Word properly. They were dealing with partiality. They were treating the rich better than the poor. They were not giving the full counsel of God's Word. They hindered and diluted God's Word to suit whoever it was that was their audience. Speaking God's Word. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. Let's read this together. "For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the what? The messenger of the Lord of hosts." God has appointed us today as priests to proclaim His message to the people around. Remember that. You are to proclaim His message. Do you know His message? If you've been a Christian for more than 5 years, you should know His message and you should be preaching His message, delivering His message, not in a formal way like this, but in a one-on-one basis with other people. It should be a part of your life. God's Word should be a part of your life. It should just come out naturally by this time. Many years ago, when I was a lot younger, I was invited to a friend's house for lunch. And when I got there, they served salad. And so I asked for my favorite salad dressing. What's your favorite salad dressing? You know, in my days, all I knew was Thousand Island. That's it. But it was an Italian family. And so, of course, what's their favorite dressing? Italian dressing. Yes. And frankly, I did not know what Italian dressing was. What's Italian dressing? And they taught me, Italian dressing is oil and vinegar. Have you heard that? Oil and vinegar. I just so happen to have some oil and vinegar here. Look at that. There you go. Oil and vinegar. And they say they combine it together and it tastes great. And they put a little herbs and it really, the spices, it makes it really delicious. And I'm so glad that they combine it together. Because think about it. If you have a salad that's just vinegar and you pour that over your salad and you take a bite, that salad's gonna bite you back, right? It's gonna bite you right back. But what if you just use oil on your salad? All that slimy goo, I don't think that's very tasteful, huh? Vinegar without oil, oil without vinegar, not a good combination. But both oil and vinegar together with herbs, yes, that's gonna be tasty. Now, I want you to think about your relationships. The relationships that you have that are important today. Relationship with your parents, your wife, your husband, people in the office. How are those relationships today? Are they strained? Are they broken? Do some of those relationships need to be restored? Consider the fact that it could be that some of your relationships have too much vinegar and not enough oil. Or maybe some of those relationships have too much oil and not enough vinegar. Now you're probably thinking at this time, what in the world is this guy talking about? But let me tell you, the Bible gives us a very simple blueprint, a design in order for us to strengthen relationships. When it comes to speaking God's word in relationships, God gives us a formula, a 5-word phrase that will help strengthen marriages, parent-children relationships, friendships, church, ministry, relationships, all those relationships. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Let's read that together. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. As each part does its work. How do you build relationships? Friends, look at the key words here. All things grow up, joined, held together, grows, builds itself up. What is God's 5-word phrase formula to build relationships? It's simply this. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. There you have it. There you have it. The vinegar and oil combination. Vinegar is the truth and oil is the love. Together, these are life-building, life-changing combinations. One without the other can create some problems. But together, they make a big difference. Which one are you? Are you more truth or more love? Most people, if you're like most people, you're stronger in one more than the other. I want you to look at your life today. If today you are very straightforward, you're forthright, you don't hold back, okay? You are very transparent. People know where you stand right away. You are a person of truth. But sometimes a person of truth who speaks truth with very little love causes the people who listen to what he has to say want to sometimes spit out the very truth that they need to hear. Are you with me? You need to pray to your Savior and ask Jesus, Jesus, would you help me? Help wrap tenderness around the truth that I speak, so that the people who listen will know that I appreciate them, that I affirm them, that I praise God for them as I confront them. That you can help people understand that you love them while you confront them. Now you might be sitting there and saying, no, I'm not that person. I'm not that aggressive, you know, hard person. I'm more smooth, gentle, like oil. That's me. If your strength is more on the love side, it could be that sometimes you're more loving at the expense of speaking the truth. You're the type of person that likes to sweep things under the carpet. You want to bury things sometimes because you don't want to, you know, ruffle feathers. You want to please people. You don't want to confront people. You postpone hard issues in life. If that's you, you need to ask your Savior Jesus to help you to get more courage to stand up and to confront people with the truth. At the same time, love. At the same time, love. Often, truthers don't speak with love. And lovers don't speak with truth. But God wants us to do both, to be both together. If you have a relationship today that needs help, it could be that you have too much vinegar and not enough oil, or too much oil and not enough vinegar, and you need both to work together. You need to ask yourself, what do I need to do? What are you? Do you know what you are? I'm sure that your husband, your wife can tell you what you are. Are you more of this person who speaks more truth without love, or more love without truth? You need to adjust your life, and you need to go to people and restore that relationship in whatever manner you can, and adjust the way you are. Speak the truth with love. Today, many Christians and churches are getting into trouble because they want to please people. They want to be seeker sensitive. They don't want to offend people with the truth of God's word. And so they water things down. They don't talk about sin. They don't talk about repentance. They don't talk about dying to self or denying self. You know, it's very easy for us to stand here and to tell you things that will make you feel good, to make you, you know, so happy and joyful that you'll want to come back again next week. It's easy for us to do that. But yet, I praise God because at CCF, the preachers, we teach and preach God's word as it is. As it is, because we know that it's sometimes a matter of life or death. And that's a principle that you should learn. Your words bring life or death to others. Can you all say that? Your words bring life or death to others. Jesus, when he talked to the multitudes, the crowds, he spoke the truth in love. And many of those who were there, they went away, they drifted away, they departed. They didn't hang around. But he didn't care. He knew what was more important. He knew what was more important. Speaking the truth with love. Telling the truth is important. Because it shows that we care more for God's approval rather than man's approval. It shows that we trust God's word as truth. Malachi chapter 2 verse 6, it says, true instruction was in his mouth and nothing false was found on his lips. That should be you and me. True instruction was in his mouth and nothing false was found on his lips. The greatest way for you and I to show God true love is to be faithful to his word. To be faithful to his word. Let's speak his truth, friends. Speak his truth to a lost and dying world that's in sin today. We need to do that. How do we apply this? How do we apply this? Application for us? Resolve to speak God's word with love. Resolve to speak God's word. God's word is truth. Remember, God's word is truth. So resolve to speak God's word or truth with love. If there's a relationship that's broken, that needs restoration, go out of your way. Because friends, your responsibility is to lead that person to Christ. If you are the Christian, make the effort to go to that person in humility and restore that relationship with words of truth and love. Are you with me? Let's look at the last point. The feet. Ministering God's word. Ministering God's word. Many of the priests in the day of Malachi were not ministering God's word. They took their ministry for granted. They took it for granted. In Malachi chapter 2 verse 8, it says, but as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to what? To stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. You know how serious this is? God was telling them, you have caused people to walk away from following me. It was your life, your lifestyle, your walk, that has caused people to stumble and fall on the wayside. You and I must be faithful in our ministries. We must be faithful in our ministries. God holds each and every one of us accountable to the people that we lead to Him and away from Him. The question to us today is, how are we walking? Are we walking in a manner that is encouraging people to follow Christ, or are we walking in a manner that discourages people from following Christ? Let me give you an illustration that comes from Francis Chan. I want you to imagine for a minute, okay? I want you to imagine that this here is a balance beam. You all know what a balance beam is, right? You know what a balance beam is? They use it in Olympics, okay? I want you to imagine for just a minute that this is a balance beam. But of course, it doesn't look much like a balance beam, right? Because a balance beam, this is like 12 inches wide, it's 2 feet high. When a real balance beam is about 4 feet high and about 4.5 inches wide. 4.5 inches wide. And you know, those gymnasts, they do twirls, double somersaults, twists, turns, flips, and then they land on their feet. How do they do that? I don't know, but it's a talent, okay? So imagine with me that this is a balance beam. Are you with me? Okay. Now some of you are thinking, I hope this guy is not thinking of doing a balance beam routine. Huh? Is that what you're thinking? Because, well, first of all, I'm not dressed for it, right? I'm not dressed properly for it. Because what do those gymnasts wear? Huh? What do they wear? Those tights, you know? Those things that are, don't imagine, okay? Wait. Don't stop. Take it, erase. Okay, don't imagine that. It's gonna ruin your whole week, okay? I promise you. Erase, okay. Now, you're probably also saying, the guy can't do a routine because he's not in shape. Would you agree? You're so kind. You're right. There's nothing much I can do here, but okay, bear with me, okay? I want you to consider that this beam is the journey of our lives. All of us are on a journey. Now, we all have past. We all have a past. And I don't know what your past has been. Maybe some of you come from broken homes. Maybe some of you had failed marriages. Maybe somewhere in the past you've been abused as a child. Or maybe you had to drop out of college or school because your parents didn't have enough money for the tuition. Or it could be that one of your parents died when you were just a toddler and you never got to meet that parent. Or you just grew up in a dysfunctional home. I don't know what your past has all been about. I don't know, but all of us have a past. And one day we heard about the great news about Jesus Christ and how He loved us and gave His life for us. And we surrendered our lives and received Him as our Lord and Savior. And today we are living as Christians. Amen? And so here we are, faced with our balanced beam of life. And as we look at this beam of life, we think back and we say, you know, many people have gone through this journey before us. Many. Many have competed and done well and done not so well. And you know that there are some gymnasts who've done fantastic twirls, swirls, and somersaults, and then they land and they break their bones. And then there are also those Christians who live their life for the Lord. They give their life to the Lord. And as they're going through their life, they meet obstacles and rocky, unstable places, and they get persecuted, ostracized, and all kinds of things. And life is difficult for them. And so here you are, and you're thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to live my life? Are you thinking like that? How am I going to live my life? What is my routine going to be? So you say, well, you know, I know I need to take risks, but risks are difficult. So I don't want to take too many risks. I think I want to play it safe. I want to play it safe. I don't want to get injured. So I'm just going to. Oh, this is much better. Oh, this is much better, huh? Yeah. Nice and safe. Oh, this is. Oh, wait. This is even better. Ooh. I'm just going to grab onto this beam of my life and I'm going to live a secure life. I'm going to just be safe and not take risks. I'm going to live in my subdivision how do I look, by the way? You know, this is how you look, okay? This is how you look. We're all saying, I want to just live in a, you know, secure subdivision, go to my work every day, take care of my kids, make sure they go to a Christian school, make sure they wear helmets every day, wherever they go, so they don't get hurt, okay? Make sure they don't go out in the sun because of all those bad rays, and I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to get into a D group because that takes too much time. I'm not going to share the gospel with my office mates or friends because they might laugh at me. So I'm just going to hold tight and teach a Bible study? No way. That means I have to study myself. No way. I'm just going to just live a quiet, peaceful life for myself. I'm not going to risk anything for God. Maybe I'll go to church on Sundays. I'll give my 2% tithes. Yeah. Maybe I'll join Sunday school nursery. Because those kids, they don't run around and scream. They're easy to handle. And so here we are thinking this is our life. And we're just holding on, keeping everything safe. And we're praying, Lord, oh, I pray that I just die in my sleep. That I don't die in an accident. I don't die of sickness. I just die in my dreams. I'm going to heaven. And sure enough, one day it happens. We're peacefully sleeping and we're dreaming about going to heaven and we don't know it, but we're drifting away into our final death. And we're falling off our balance beam of life. And as we get off the beam of life on earth, all of a sudden we're in the presence of the judge. Is that what they do? Huh? I don't know. What do they call that? Anyway, can you imagine? Can you imagine for a minute? I'm trying hard, huh? The things I have to do to teach you. Can you imagine an Olympic gymnast climbing up on her balance beam to do her 1.5 minute routine, and she gets up there and all of a sudden she bends down and she straddles the beam and she holds on, and after 1.5 minutes she comes down and she does this. What's the judge going to score her? How's he going to score her? Do you understand? As crazy as that is, friends, the fact is that routine that I just did, that's the routine that many Sunday Christians are living today. That's the way people who are victims rather than victors in Christ live. You're going to be shocked because one day you're going to face the judge. And when you face the judge, he's going to base your rewards on your routine, the balance beam of your life. And how is he going to judge you? Is he going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or is he going to say, "Well done, what was that? You didn't fall off. Hey, you didn't slip. You were the safest person on this earth." Is that what he's going to say? Friends, let me tell you something. You were not created to do that. You and I were created to do great and mighty things for God. You've got a destiny planned for your life. And if you choose to live your life like that, then that's your choice. But at the end of your life, you're going to look back and you're going to realize that so many people have stumbled and fallen on the wayside because they're following you. And because your example was so lousy, they never reached heaven. It's your choice. I want to look back one day and see people lined up following me into heaven. Because the little example and model that I lived was enough for these people to see, yes, Christ is the answer. God is the answer to life. I want to follow that. You need to decide that safe, comfortable, predictable, normal is not an option. Are you hearing me? It's not an option for life. You and I should remove that from our thoughts. Remove it from our thoughts. Look at the principle that we should learn. Your walk leads others to God or leads them and you what? Away from God. Let's all read that together. Your walk leads others to God or leads them and you away from God. I don't want to live my life self-centered and meaningless. I want to make an impact on this earth. And I pray that's your desire as well. Every single one of us, we must realize that our life is a ministry of service that requires faithfulness. Our life is a ministry of service that requires faithfulness. The question you need to ask yourself is, how am I doing? How am I doing today serving the Lord? If you want to serve the Lord, you know, CCF has no shortage of ministry opportunities for you. I know, you don't have to look far. If you want to get involved in somehow serving God by serving others, just look at CCF. There are plenty of D groups that need people. There are plenty of D groups that need interns, that need leaders. You've got Sunday school ministry, which need teachers, assistants, helpers, you know, all these creative people. You've got the worship, exalt ministry. You've got ushering. You've got the Chronicle administration. You've got tons of things that we need people to serve. The youth ministry, the singles ministry, and on and on. You know, I know that tonight, they were telling me that they put out a lot of tables here in the lobby for people who want to sign up. If somehow God is speaking to your heart and telling you, you know, it's about time that you get involved. Go there, pick up a form to understand what that ministry is all about. Pray about it and then sign up. But get moving. Get moving. Pray to the Lord and say, "Lord, how do you want me to get involved and make a difference? How do you want me to step out in faith? Get out of my comfort zone to do something for you." That's what we pray. Remember our vision and mission. What's our mission in CCF? Our mission is to make Christ committed followers. Who will make Christ committed followers? Our vision is to see a movement of millions of Christ committed followers who are meeting in small groups, transforming lives, families, nations, and the world for the glory of God. Remember that. Get on board and follow this mission and vision for the Lord. Make your life count for eternity. Make your life count for eternity. Even if you came to Christ filled with brokenness, God restores you to wholeness and allows you to mend the life of others for His glory. When you and I are faithful in applying God's Word in our life, we will experience what Malachi talks about in chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let's look at this. This is what happened to those who are faithful. It says, "My covenant with him was one of life and peace." It says God had a promise and gave him life and peace, the Levites. "And I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness." And notice the last part. "And he turned many back from iniquity." When you are faithful to God's word in worship, you will experience all of this. True life and peace. A change in the way you speak. A change in the way you listen and apply God's word. And you'll be used by God to bring people back from iniquity. A great example is the Apostle Paul. He was a man who was purposeful and consistent as a Christian. And he dared tell people, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." What a challenge to us. Can we ever say to people, "Follow me as I follow the Lord"? Me with all my mistakes and shortcomings and failures, follow me. That's what Paul said. None of us are perfect. Neither was Paul. But he said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. He says, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation," meaning trial, difficulties, "with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers." You can make a difference in the life of other people by living a life that's an example. What's the application to us? How do we apply this issue about ministering God's word with our feet? Well, application is represent God to others by your faithfulness. By your faithfulness, represent to God, your life to God and others. Don't back away. When you are given a ministry opportunity, don't back away. Even if you feel that you're not confident, even if you feel you're not capable, just step out in faith and say, "Lord, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you because I know that you can use me and change me. You're an awesome God anyway." And He will. He will use you. Tonight, if God has spoken to your heart and you want to change your life in the way you listen, in the way you speak, in the way you live your ministry life of service, I want to pray for you. If you want to change yourself and you want to change others for the glory of God, I want to pray for you. Would you kindly stand? Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you and praising you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege that you give us to be priests, servants, to proclaim your message to this dying and lost world. Lord Jesus, who are we with all our failures to represent you? And yet, Lord God, you've chosen us, the weak, the troubled, the downcast, to be your representatives. Father, you can do extraordinary things through us who are ordinary. And we come before you humbly, opening our lives to you. Lord, whatever area in our life that we need to surrender to you, may we do that. If today we are not listening to your precious word, may you open our ears and give us sensitivity to spend time listening to you. If we're not speaking the word, your word with truth and love, Lord, may we stop and go back to your word and be brave and courageous to speak forth the truth that people's lives may hear it and change. And Lord, if we're taking the ministry of service for granted, forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to live a life that is just routine, that is dull, that is boring, that is safe. Lord, you're a God of great and mighty things. And as we step out in faith, we know that you will take us to the great heights, that we can do great and mighty things together with you. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here that as we go forth, Lord, you would use us in a mighty way, that your name would be glorified, that people would come to know you and worship you. May we continue to learn to love you every day of our lives. Father, we give you ourselves. This is all we have. We ask you to take us, mold us, and shape us, and use us in any way you see fit, that we may in turn bring glory and honor to your name. And that's our prayer. Because you, Lord God, deserve all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. To you we pray, in Jesus' most precious name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. I love you.